Town in Cascadia, you're listening to your community radio station, KBOO Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Thursday, March 26, 2009. And this is Air Cascadia, long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
The Portland City Council wants to go ahead with grading and excavation at Sorrel Butte because you can live without money but not without water.
Congress passed sweeping conservation legislation yesterday.
And the economy shrank by an alarming 6.3% last year, making 25 hedge funds very wealthy.
Portland area weather today, mostly cloudy, a slight chance of showers this afternoon, highs in the 50s. Tonight, clouds, showers, and temperatures in the mid-30s to low 40s. And then tomorrow, maybe a little rain and temperatures in the 50s.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. Republican Representative Vicky Berger of Salem plans to introduce a bill, get this, to allow the state to buy Portland General Electric and turn it into a public utility. My guest this morning is a longtime proponent of publicly owned utilities and one of the most knowledgeable voices on the topic. Scott Forrester, welcome to Air Cascadia.
Hello, Chris.
So what do you make of this? A Republican is planning to introduce legislation on public utilities. Am I hearing this right?
Apparently you are, and I called over to the representative's office this morning, and she said she just filed it. It's not online yet. It should be House Bill 3467. The difference, she said, is that she was the sponsor back in 2005 of Senate Bill 1008, which did not include eminent domain powers, the powers to take over forcefully property from a private utility. This one does. But I will say two things. One is, Republicans have a proud history of being involved in public nonprofit power, and unfortunately the current Republican Party doesn't want to pay attention to its own past. And secondly, I have great skepticism with this bill, and I think the issue revolves around governance. Who gets to govern the new utility? I believe, if I recall from 05, it was appointees by the governor. Secondly, the other thing is that the Senate Bill 1008 in 2005 was to stop Portland from taking over PGE.
So what, in your view, are the chances of somewhere in the region of people supporting public ownership of our utilities, of our energy resources?
Well, I think many people support public power. In the 2003 Multnomah County People's Utility District effort that went to the ballot, and I was a chief co-petitioner, we ended up getting about 50,000 votes out of 150,000. So a third of the people in Multnomah County, mostly within Portland, supported the most radical form of public power with a directly elected board from citizens in your neighborhood where you have direct control and transparency. So I think it's there. The point is, what are the politicians are going to do? So the question is Representative Berger just doing this to try to gain a leg up on the Democrats by showing that she's attuned to the citizen ratepayers, or is she really serious?
That's the question. Thank you so much. My guest has been Scott Forrester, environmental journalist and public utility activist. Thank you so much for that, Scott.
Thank you.
President Obama and Treasury Secretary Geithner say the nation's economic recovery will be driven mostly by small business. They announced a number of measures intended to make it easier for small businesses to borrow. Portland Small Business Association Chief Harry DeWolf has some standard answers, but it comes down to breaking the backs of lobbyists for Wall Street, agribusiness, insurance, pharmaceuticals, and the military-industrial complex. Other than that, no problem.
And then maybe we'll finally have publicly owned power in the area. Congress passed sweeping conservation legislation yesterday that protects 200,000 acres of popular mountains and forests in Oregon and millions more nationwide. The protections bestowed by the bill are the biggest advance in wilderness preservation in a generation. But will this signal a new era of congressional support for conservation? Depends on the economy. The bill gives permanent wilderness protection to 127,000 acres surrounding Mount Hood and millions more across 9 states. Most are in the West, but some are as far east as Virginia. Will the legislation slow mountaintop removal mining? Depends on the economy.
Mm-hmm. The Western Wood Products Association expects U.S. lumber demand to drop to a record low this year. The Portland-based association forecasts a drop of nearly 30% from last year, the lowest level since they began keeping records in 1955. A weak housing market is dragging down the industry. The association says home construction traditionally accounts for almost half the lumber used.
See, there's no market for lumber. We're getting stimulus money and blowing it on clear-cutting the last of the forest. And at the same time, this could cause us to lose millions of dollars in taxes. Here's how. Well, the federal government is offering Medicaid, education, and other direct assistance to states. State tax revenues are likely to drop by billions of dollars. That's right. This is because many states copy adjustments in the federal tax code into their own to make things less confusing for taxpayers. And the $787 billion stimulus package is heavily laden with federal tax breaks and incentives. The changes could dwindle revenues at a time when states are facing their own fiscal crises.
The collapse of Sacramento River salmon runs that led to the close of coastal fisheries in Oregon in recent years can be largely traced to poor ocean conditions. A recent report from NOAA points out that the salmon were hurt by warm sea surface temperatures and low food supply, but the fish were already suffering from declining freshwater conditions in the Sacramento River Basin, where water diversions for agriculture have hurt fish.
It's all about water. Yesterday, the city, Portland City Council approved spending more than $13 million for excavation and grading work at Powell Butte. A second underground water storage tank is planned to be installed there. More importantly, though, it will give the city time to deal with a federal legal challenge over the city's use of open water reservoirs and requirements that the city filter water coming from the Bull Run Reservoir. My guest this morning has got the facts on the future of water, Gordon Mackay-Westfall. Good morning and welcome to Air Cascadia.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having me on your show today. I'd like to first mention the 1.1 billion people without adequate access to fresh water, healthy water, and 2.4 billion on top of that without sewer and sanitation. And I find those numbers pretty obscene and scary to realize that the numbers are growing every day, every year.
And what it amounts to is water wars.
Yeah, water wars and that is privatization, and that goes to this World Council that just happened the other day.
World Water Day on Monday, I believe.
Yes, and that is funded by the corporations to let them know that privatization is the way to go. And I can see that going into the future here in Portland, Oregon. I can see that happening with the Bull Run, where money is getting tight, and I think they want to. They're just buying their time, and in the future, we're going to see them push for using it for extracurricular activities and doing jet skis and stuff. We really need to work on our water and protecting it, and that's just where we need to go is start being aggressively with our laws and start being aggressive with passing rules and regulations on how we're dealing with it, and we need to start forming councils and having people take ownership of their water and really start setting the pace for being proactive instead of being on the defensive side.
And seeing water as natural capital of much more value to the human race and to Wall Street. Thank you so much for that, Gordon. My guest today has been Gordon Westfall of the Center for a Sustainable Today.
In Spokane, Native Americans are expressing frustration and anger over the acquittal of an off-duty Spokane police officer who shot a young Indian man. On March 13th, a Spokane County Superior Court jury found suspended officer Jay Olson not guilty of first-degree assault and reckless endangerment. On February 26, 2007, Olson chased Shonto Pete through downtown Spokane and shot him in the head. Olson was off duty and he'd been drinking.
The back of the head, I believe. Now we go to national stories. Yesterday was a great day for the people of Appalachia and actually for all of America. In a bold departure from Bush-era energy policies, the Obama administration suspended a coal company's permit to dump debris from its proposed mountaintop mining operation into a West Virginia valley and stream. In addition, the administration promised to carefully review upwards of 200 such permits awaiting approval by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
President Obama is trying to unify his party behind the central pillars of his spending plan. With his budget under attack, Obama's asking Democrats to fight back against Republican charges that his policies will saddle the next generation with an unsustainable debt. Obama said that Republicans would continue to say we could do better without coming up with an alternative.
And we are trying to get KBOO's reporter Spencer Raymond on the line right now to talk about the economy. Chances are that Spencer won't be able to join us this morning, but let's just review some of the high water marks. Despite a year-long global economic meltdown that only got worse as the year wore on, the world's 25 most successful hedge fund managers raked in a total of $11.6 billion. That's their third best haul this decade. How'd that happen, you might ask? Actually, it was pretty easy. They bet big against banks and the housing market. How did they know how to do that when everyone in government is wringing their hands and claiming that they never saw it coming? Obviously, the hedge fund managers did. Maybe they should have talked to them. I'm betting that this year the hedge fund managers are betting against economic recovery. Watch and see what happens. The other aspect of this whole quandary is, and we have a report from the AP this morning, the economy shrank 6.3% by the end of 2008. That's the worst showing in a quarter century, and it's probably not doing very much better now. So where does that put the same hedge fund masterminds? Obviously, they're going to be betting on the economy getting worse, and the fact that they are shorting our own economy is going to drive it down. We have to ask ourselves, we have to wonder what's going to stop the precipitous fall, and maybe it is the best thing for the whole edifice to deconstruct itself. We'll have Spencer Raymond back with us tomorrow to talk about some of these numbers that have just begun to filter into the periphery of our economic imaginings. Liam.
Yesterday, the war on terror got back up on its fire-breathing haunches. President Obama's administration denied dropping the punchy but controversial phrase for the less snappy formulation, overseas contingency operation. It's hard to picture Rush Limbaugh puffing up like a blowfish and spitting the phrase at slavering listeners.
I don't hear it. So, what's the new administration's plan for Afghanistan? New drone attacks on so-called militant targets in Pakistan are part of the overall review of military so-called strategy there. I'd call it tactics, but if they want to call it strategy, they're the government. Intelligence officials from the United States and Pakistan are composing, and here it is, this is the quote, get this, a fresh list of terrorist targets for predator drone strikes along the Pakistan-Afghanistan border, close quote. That's actually a border that you'd be hard-pressed to find on a map or, in fact, on the ground. This is like poking those nations' religious zealots with a sharp stick. That's diplomacy.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Thursday, March 26, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Emily Young. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only helps us keep subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints. Journalist John Ross discusses the hype about the drug trade in Mexico and Malik Rahim on violence and poverty in the U.S.
Thanks for listening and have a good day.